Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Good to see you all. Please turn with me to John chapter 13. John chapter 13, we'll read together from verse 31 to verse
35.
But we will center our thoughts in verses 34 and
35.
The title of this message might sound strange, but the title is The Sins of My Country. It's actually a series that I'm beginning, so this morning we'll look at it in a very soft way. It reads as following. When he had gone out, that is Judas, when he had gone out, Jesus said, Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and glorify him at once. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You will seek me, and just as I said to the Jews, so now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if we have love for one another. The good Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Lately, friends, I have developed a desire to speak on the sins of my country, South Africa. But to bring out a list of all the sins will be impossible. We all know that no one can count our sins and be finished. No one can analyze them satisfactorily. And friends, this does not mean that South Africa is the most or the worst country in the world or the most sinful people in the world. In actual fact, we are all the same. But I think, friends, we must be able to deal with our local problems regardless their similarities with those of another. Church, it is shocking that we are becoming a heartless people again. First, it was tribalism. Tribal wars between the Africans. Then the Westerners came into our land and it was apartheid. Now it's tribalism and racism again. These things had led to so much serious xenophobic attacks to many people. And I'm aware, friends, that there are primary reasons that we can speak about. And in this message, then, I want to deal with the sin that is always there and will always be there, even if the violence against one another will stop. There is a sin that will always be there. The sin that will always be there, even if the unjust war on our African brothers will stop. And get me right, friends, before we misunderstand one another. I'm not saying that our foreign nationals are not guilty of anything. I'm not suggesting that our foreign nationals are innocent in most of the crimes that they are charged with. But what I want to bring out to us, we are not what we claim to be as a country. We claim to be a free country. And there is truth in that. But unless the Son of God sets you free, you are not free indeed. For instance, the religious demographics of our country stands as following. Islam is the religion of 1.5%. Hinduism is 1.2%. African traditional beliefs is 0.3%. Judaism is 0.2%. Other unknown beliefs lying around is 0.6%. And in terms of the population groups here in South Africa, Christianity is the dominant religion in this country, being the faith of
86.8%.
Can someone please tell me what's going on? Maybe let me tell you what is going on. We are not the Christian nation we claim to be. We have no fear of God. We have a different view of God than that of the Bible, who is the only God, the true God of Scripture. We are unreasonable. And we are heartless, just to say the least. But what I want to build upon this morning is that we are a loveless people. That is the problem that we're dealing with today. We are a loveless people. And being a loveless people is a proof that we are a godless people. And before you think this is harsh, friends, before you think that maybe I'm painting everyone with an evil brush, I want you to remember what Nehemiah said in Nehemiah chapter 1. When they came to tell him of what was happening with his country, as he bowed his knees to God, this is what Nehemiah said. Verse 6 to 7, chapter 1. O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments. Let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayers of your servant that I now pray before you day and night for the people of Israel, your servants, confessing the sins of the people of Israel, which, friends, listen, which we have sinned against you. Even I and my father's house have sinned. We have acted corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments, the statutes, and the rules that you commanded us to do or to keep. What I want to highlight is that Nehemiah points to himself, says, we have sinned. Although he had not sinned, we have
sinned.
Another example is Isaiah. When standing before God in chapter number 6, when seeing the glory and the majesty of our God, he says in verse 5, woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Madimabi go na.
Madina Rihonina.
O Dulang Batung.
O Milam Batumba Bamilomu Isa Luka.
Aha. Amen.
Amen.
The point here, friends, although the people had sinned, but the people of God point to themselves, we have sinned.
So,
we all have sinned. The sins of my land are my sins. The problems of my land are my problems. All of us are a problem. So this morning I want to highlight this sin, friends, and bring a solution. The sin is very simple. We are a loveless people. We need Jesus. And since this is my first message in the series, I will not dwell too much in examples or practical examples, but I want to point out the obvious. When you look at the scriptures, friends, you cannot escape the fact that man has a divine responsibility towards one another. Even more for us who are called the children of God, born of the Spirit of God. Looking at the text, no one can dispute the fact that Jesus wants us to be like Him in nature and character. The Bible tells us, friends, He has chosen us to conform to His image. But sin has brought about a terrible effect on our relationship with one another. Sin lies at the root of our personality. Sin, friends, does not follow us where we are going. But we are carrying sin wherever we are going. We can be put back into the Garden of Eden, we will still be sinners. There is nowhere in the world you can put man and then eradicate sin in any way. It controls our ego. It pushes others away. But at the same time, it draws those of like-mindedness, it draws them closer to them. Here in our text, it is Jesus directly speaking to His disciples, saying, the world you are living in is a dark and hopeless world. You have nobody outside me in this world. I will be crucified. I will be leaving you in this loveless world. The world where the strong swallows the weak. The world where the weak desires to take from the strong. The world where only when you scratch my back, I scratch yours. But you must love one another. That is Jesus. Having showed them what true love should really look like. Because, friends, that is the only thing that will keep them together and united. Love will keep us united in the midst of disunited or a disunited world. What does Jesus do? Before He says these words, He washes their feet. He washes their feet, teaching them the principle of true love. What does Jesus do? He points people to the cross. The cross is the supreme demonstration of the love of God. He says in verse 33, little children, yet a little while I am with you. You will seek me. And just as I said to the Jews, so now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. Jesus points to the cross. So, friends, we must appreciate the fact that Jesus has a unique love than the love that we have. That is why he gives a commandment. All that he desires is that we shape our love for one another to that example, and we will deal with that just now. Therefore, friends, we need to realize then that as Christians, we have a unique identity in this disunited world. Firstly, Jesus, write down, Jesus commands us to love one another. That is what differentiates us from the people. He says in verse 34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. And of course, friends, the disciples know something about love. They've learned something about love. Moses taught them something about love. What they learned in Leviticus 19 verse 18, it says, you shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. But Jesus says this is a new commandment. It is something of a higher standard than what you formerly know as love. And quickly, friends, how is this a new commandment? It refers to the practical example of the Lord Jesus Christ, which we shall look at just now. So as we look at this new commandment to love one another, we need to see, friends, that this is an obligation to us as people of God. It is something that Jesus expects us to do. To love one another. The idea here is that we must have the same relationship standard which we claim we have with God. We must also have the same standard with one another. We should be governing our lives with the love of God. Love should be the emblem to identify us in this world. Why? Because our old self has been taken away. Our heart of stone is removed. The law of God is newly infused in our hearts. Christ now is our authority and final authority. Remember the verse? In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is what? He's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. This, friends, tells us we are made anew. What we have here is the fact that Jesus says we have been made anew. So why is Jesus giving us a new commandment or this commandment? Because we love to look out for ourselves. That is the problem. We love those who are closer to us personally. We do not want to open a room for someone else we do not know. Friends, I understand that we are all unique. We cannot make everyone a friend. But this is not about friendship. It's about a commandment that comes from the Lord. We have a unique background and a unique ways of communicating with one another and unique ways that we behave towards one another. And those things, friends, are the things that can divide us and bring disunity among us. So Jesus understands that. So he wants his disciples to remain united. He does not want his disciples to be like Judas, who loved the world. Judas, who lived to please the world. Judas, who rejected his own. Judas, who was there for himself alone. So Jesus, friends, want us to put others first. That is what this is all about. He wants us to put others first. He desires, he commands us to love one another. He gave us this commandment as soon as Judas left. So it is impossible for the Judases of this world to comprehend this. So since we are 86.8% Christians in South Africa, the few percentage of Judas should not be able to comprehend it. But it's shocking that most of the people seems to be the Judases. He gave these friends when Judas left the room to show us those of the world cannot have such love. Those of the world cannot obey such a command because Satan reigns in their hearts. They love the enemy of truth and unity. So, church, this is a matter of accepting one another's differences while we are not tolerating one another's sins. That is why, friends, if we love one another, we will take care of one another. We will take care of our physical needs and spiritual needs. We will correct each other gently and rebuke each other with the love of Christ when in error. This is a commandment from Christ. It is love beyond our power to comprehend. Love that no mere flesh can comprehend. It is a spiritual love. It is the love of Christ. A new commandment he gives us. Because we are no longer the people of the world. We are to love people who does not know us. People you never thought you will meet, you must love. This commandment says we must love people of every tribe, every tongue, every nation. We have to love the sinners which God loved and gave himself for them. We are to love those who continue to offend us. On a daily basis, we are to practice brotherly love. Listen to 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 22. He's speaking to the Christians. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of Christ. The idea here, friends, we must have brotherly love because we are born of God. So what we see here, church, the love that God commands us to do, it is not passive love but active love. It is love that is supposed to be actively involved in loving others. So it is love that we must not only know about, but love that we must do something about. It is love that seeks to excel in its character. So Jesus says we must be bound together by ties stronger than any force behind disunity. And friends, such love can only start from the church. And consequently, we will not be cold towards one another. We will be patient towards one another. We will love and support one another. Because that is the only way we can survive as God's people in this hostile generation or hostile world. So Jesus is expecting his disciples to be embodied with the love of Christ, because he was also embodied by the love of God. Why? Because our love towards one another is a sign pointing to our inner change. It is love that is showing that we belong to one Father and we are of one family. Listen to 1 John chapter 3 verse 4. 1 John chapter 3 verse 4. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Church, this commandment makes sense to the Christians. Why? Because God has already said it before. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The question is, do you love? Are you of God? Do you remember that you also are a foreigner in this world? One day you will pass on from this world. And the key to that eternal life that you go in can only be love and the love of Christ. Friends, we are commanded to love. Secondly, the model of true love. In other words, how would you know how to love as it is commanded in this word? Verse 34. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. So quite obvious, friends. The source of Christian love is Jesus Christ. So no one can know how to love unless one has received the gift of eternal life, unless one is saved by God, unless one has experienced salvation. You will not know how to love. So one needs to experience the love of Christ first. Therefore, obeying Christ's command to love, then it is rooted in our love for God. If we love God, we will obey the law of Christ, and we will know that Christ is the model of true love. First John chapter 5, verse 2.
Chapter 5, verse 2.
I hope you're concentrating and I hope you're writing down. Unless you claim Jesus is wrong, you have the greatest love in this world.
1
John 5, verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey His commandments. So, it is until we love God that we will love others. It is until we love God that we know the perfect model of love, then we can execute such love to one another. Why, friends? Because Christian love is not founded upon any natural sentiments or natural feelings, but it is founded upon the rock, and that rock is the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the model of true love. The question then quickly is, how has Christ loved us? And I want you to listen to the words that Jesus Christ Himself says here in John 15, verse 13. This is Jesus speaking, telling us how He has loved us. He says, John 15, verse 13, greater love has no one than this, that someone laid down his life for his friend. Friends, we must look at Christ's love. His love is not rich in self-gratification, but it is rich in self-giving. We need to know such sacrificial love of Christ. That is the only love that will build the church of God. The only love that will encourage our unity and joy in the Lord. The only love that will prove our union with Christ Jesus. The only love that will ignite our worship as we come to worship God together. This is the love that will remind us that we belong to one another. This is the love that will remind us that we are all created by one God and we are created in His own image. So it is important, friends, to consider the love of Christ, because the love of Christ keeps no records of wrongdoing. It takes no account of evil done to Christ. But through His love, or in His love, He paid for the sins that was committed unto Him. Becoming the model of true love that we should employ upon ourselves. And once we have such love, only then, friends, we will bear with one another's burdens. Only then, friends, when one has a complaint against us, we will forgive one another as the Lord has forgiven us. So, church, we need to shape our lives according to the pattern of Jesus' love. We must follow His steps. He is the good model. You know how good is Jesus Christ? When we were spiritually powerless, He loved us. When we were weak and feeble people, He loved us. And church, there is nothing that we can do to that we can bring to him so that he loves us. So when there was nothing for us to give unto him to win his favor, yet he loved us. When we had nothing to offer him to love us, such a negativity did not eternally push Christ away, but it drew Christ to us. His love overlooked our spiritual dead spiritual condition. That is why then he expects us to love and to learn from him. He expects us to overlook others' weakness and love them as they are. He wants us to remember that he did not wait for us to become something. He did not wait for us to be strong before he loved us. But he left his glory above and came into this world showing love and mercy to a people who deserved no love, no mercy. He brought in his love
to
those who could not help themselves, those who were unable to save themselves, those who had nothing to give in return to attract his love, those whose condition was that which separated them eternally from the loving God. But in his love, he brought the sinful man and the holy God together in unity. So friends, let us strive to employ this model of love in our lives. We need to remember the nature of Christ's love. How is that nature? How is Jesus' love? It is divine love. It is electing love. It is unconditional love. It is sacrificial love. It is forgiving love. In other words, Christ gave us the best. He sacrificed his life for us. Why? To show us his deeper love for us. Dying not for a good people but sinful men, guilty sinners before God. That is the model he expects from us. Loving one another sacrificially, loving one another unconditionally. How would you know whether that you have such love? You will be willing to save one another. Saving one another without complaint. You will be willing to go the extra mile for a brother or a sister. You will be willing to bear with one another's burden. You will be willing to cover each other's shame outside covering each other's sin. You will love your enemies. Like I said, you will love those you do not know. Deadly. The effects of Christian love. In other words, what does such love achieve? Christian love, friends, changes the world's perspective about people, the world's perspective about Christ and God. Christian love builds the world, it does not destroy the world. So when you claim to be a Christian, you are claiming to be a builder, not a destroyer. It says in verse 35, by this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. In other words, Jesus is saying, when you love like this, when you love like me, people will know that you are destined to heaven. You are destined to be with me in glory. Jesus is saying the world is watching. Those who are outside God are watching. Those who does not claim to be Christians are watching. And the only way they will know that our claim is correct is when we love like this. The only way they will know that our claim is correct is when our love changes their perspective about God and about humanity. So Jesus is saying, what we should be known about is love. What we should be famous about is love, not anything else. Our history as people should be built on love. So the effects of true love, friends, the effects of true love are internally and they are also externally. That is what this is about. It affects the church positively because it gives everyone, it binds everyone, it brings everyone together. Love affects the world positively. It brings harmony. It teaches the world the beauty of our faith. Listen to Acts chapter number 2.
Verse 44 and 45.
All who believe were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as they had. Unity is among those who believe. So we cannot claim to have the love of Christ if we allow others to suffer. We cannot claim to have the love of Christ if we will allow someone to lack something. If you have plentiful and you allow someone to suffer, do not claim you have the love of God. Jesus says the world must see us as a fountain of true love. The world needs to come and drink everywhere from the Christians and know from the Christians how or what true love looks like. Only then we can have an everlasting impression in the face of the world. So in other words, church, we must get rid of the Judas spirit within us as a people. Murdering others must go. Selfish spirit must go. The love of money at the expense of other people's lives and future must go. Hatred without cause must go. And the fear of the unknown, which has captured many, must go away. Our identity out there should be love and self-control. We must practice practical love. That is what we must demonstrate. We must have the love that will be cherished by many people. We must have the love that will be exemplary to others. The love that will witness to the world and those from different race group, if you will, than us. What am I saying? Our life outside the church must be the same as our lives inside the church. Inside the church, we love Jesus. Outside there, we must also love others. Inside the church, we behave like we know God. Let that be the same outside the church. People must have a favorable testimony about the Christians. We must have a voice against such things. The love of Christ within us must tell the world that we are a patient people. We are patient and kind. We are not envious and boastful. We are not ignorant and arrogant. Why? Because our love springs forth from Christ. It is not rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing. It rejoices with the truth. It bears with all things. It believes all things. It hopes for all things. It endures all things. Everything else will cease. But may the love of Christ not cease among us. The world needs to know. Listen to 1 John chapter 4 verse 21.
1 John chapter 4 verse 21.
And this commandment we have from him, whosoever loves God must also love his brother. This verse tells us that we must be identified by the love of God. The love of Christ must identify us. In other words, we may be from different places and different countries and different tribes and different nations, but the gospel has brought us together. And we must show the world the love of God, the uniting power of the love of Christ. We must follow in his steps. We must make his love our model of love. But of course, friends, for one, in order to love like this, one to obey the commandment of love, you must have a changed heart first. You must realize that you yourself are a sinner in need of God. You must realize that you were also loved by God. That is why you are what you are. Therefore, in that way, you will be able to love one another. When you know that you yourself are a sinner. That is why, church, I think as a people of God, we need to cry out in prayer. But must also call out to our friends out there, whether they are comrades or they are fighters or they are just people wearing blue t-shirts, we must call out and say, be ye reconciled to God. When you are reconciled to God, you will know what God's purpose about this country. Friends, church, we might be a few, but when such violence happens in our land, it is upon us to shout and bring God in the matter. Love one another. Let me close like this. I'm going to just remind you the three things I've spoken about. Firstly, Christ has commanded us to love one another. What we need is to obey that commandment. Secondly, God has given us a godly model in Christ Jesus. There is purpose to imitate that model. Let us love one another in the same way that he has loved us. Let our love be unconditional. Let our love be sacrificial love. Let our love be godly love. Love that does not bring back the past. Thirdly, let us try to show the world that we have a future with God. Because we love one another. So let us avoid worldly love. Where the love is the love that forgets what love is. Where the love is superficial love. It is love full of anger. And God love which always brings a list of past wrongdoings. Let us have the love that forgives. Let us have the love that refuses to keep record of all evil. Let us have the love that says, bygones be bygones. Let us have the love that prays for offenses. Let us have the love that does not pile up hate for a day of wrath. Let us pray the Lord to cover us with love. So the problem we have identified today, we are a loveless people. We need Christ. But as the children of God, we have the greatest privilege. We already have Christ. Let us model his love. Let us show the world that we are one. Let me give you something exciting. Next week, I want to identify the culprit who brought all the foreign nationals, our brothers and sisters in this country. Remember, I called him a culprit. Let's hope you come next week to know who's this culprit. For this week, may the love of God capture your hearts, cover you with steadfast love, help you to love one another. Look at your neighbor. Say, I love you. Look at your neighbor. Say, I love you. And to allow for my charismatic. Thank you, brothers and sisters. The Lord bless you.